Ladies and gentlemen, Bernard Law said, one of the gravest perils which besets the ministry is a restless scattering of energies over an amazing multiplicity of interests, which leaves no margin of time and of strength for receptive and absorbing communion with God. And what is most important, my dear friends, is the morning family devotions. Communion with God. Start your day with God, and God will be with you the rest of the day. And Danny, if you don't mind, send us that poem we used at least twice, of the dangers of not praying and meeting with God in the morning. And we would really appreciate that. I want to share that with the people. It's a poem that we used in the Prayer Motivator Devotional. And to encourage you to start your day with God in prayer. Holy Father God in heaven, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to always start our day with you. And help us to pray. Help us to read your holy word. Help us to humble ourselves before you. And we pray that you'll help us to seek your face early in the morning, as you did, Lord Jesus, a great while before day as our example. And then, Lord, help us, based upon that foundation laid, to pray without ceasing and commune with you throughout the day, the morning, the afternoon, the evening, and late into the night. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Join me in reading Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 to 32, as we talked with the wives on yesterday. We're going to talk with the husbands today. And oh, how needed this is in our society. Most men today have no clue as to what they ought to be doing. Many have never had a father. They don't know what, in fact, my dad and my mom did not have a father. That's one of the reasons why they were poor parents. My dad had a great deal of love for his children and for his wife and for his family, but it was misplaced love, in the sense that he didn't understand that love requires discipline. Move the fingers. Love requires discipline. You're not loving your wife, you're not loving your children, if you let them have their way. You're not loving your employers, or your employees rather, if you just let them have their way. You're not even loving your football players that you're coaching if you let them do some of anything. And even big old 300-pound football players, they love, you know what the coaches they love? They love the coaches that don't let them get away with stuff, who will make them go out of the meeting if they come in late. We'll find them if they're out drunk the night before the game, and so forth and so on. Discipline is important. You can't help anybody if you don't have some discipline. And so most young men today, most husbands, they don't have a clue as to how to handle a woman, and or lead a woman, and don't have a clue as to how to take care of business at home regarding their children. And then what happens is they get frustrated. And they get frustrated because the wife can think and talk circles around him. The children have never been disciplined, and so he gets frustrated with the wife, frustrated with the children. There's hell in the home. He can't even relax in his easy chair to watch a football game because there's a bunch of cacophony and noise and a bunch of mess going on because of him. He has not laid down the law. He has not been the leader he should be because he didn't know, and now he's frustrated. And his buddies might call, and he's trying to express his frustration to them. And he doesn't say anything to the wife because she goes into a tizzy. Every time he says something, she throws a fit. And so he gets into the mode of what my dad got into when he used to tell me, son, I just don't say anything to your mother because I'm trying to keep the peace. And I wanted to say, Dad, there's no peace. There's no peace here with none of us. Yeah, because you let her have her way. She just comes and goes and does what she wants to do. There's no food fix, nothing. There's no peace. But I didn't, out of respect for my dad, I didn't tell him that to his face. It was not my place. When we got older, my brother and I tried to address it, and but he was already fixed. My mother had already trained him to just shut up and not say anything, and that impacted the entire family. So, sir, it is your job to be the leader of your family and not lead from behind like Obama taught you. No, God wants you to lead directly under him. He wants you to lead his family. Do what he has told you to do, regardless of what your wife thinks, regardless of what your teenagers think, regardless of what your children think, because you are going to answer for your entire family. So since you have to answer for your entire family, sir, you might as well do it God's way. Amen, somebody. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself. Now, mark this. Mark that you ought to love your wife like Christ loves the church. I don't need to say any more about that. Love your wife like Christ loved the church. And if you think Christ lets the church get away with everything, then you are deceived. You're deluded. I want to read that in your hearing once again. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Husband, are you cultivating your wife and teaching her the word of God and having her to read certain verses to make her a better woman, a better wife, a better mother? I have about 20 verses that I gave my wife to read every day as a part of her devotional time to improve herself, to be a better woman, to be a better wife, to be a better mother. And I told her certain things. One of the things I told her that I didn't get when I was growing up, and she didn't get either, and that is one of your jobs, your main job, is to make ministry, make a memories for your children, for your family. Make positive memories for when they get older and they are out and about, they'll want to come home because they remember the wonderful things that their mother did for them. And this is a in time to come sort of thing. You're not going to see results right from the beginning of their life and teenage years and so forth. This is a time to come thing, based upon Proverbs 31. And so I taught her the word of God, and she, thanks be to God, it took a while, but she finally apologized for not being the wife and mother she should have been on her own without me telling her. And for a proud, independent, stubborn Jamaican woman, trust me, that's God. And anybody who knows Jamaican women, you know that that is God. When a Jamaican woman apologizes on her own, that's huge. That's big time. Verse 27, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. without blemish. So ought men to love their wives. Loving your wife is not only buying her a rose on Tuesday night and taking her out on date night on Friday night and the so-called giving her a break from her children by getting a babysitter and all of that and buying her a new dress or giving her the money to buy her own new dress or buying her a car, a nice little red Corvette or whatever you want to do with that. And that's all fine and dandy. But loving your wife is also saying, honey, you're wrong, you need to be quiet, and you need to pray. Amen, lights. That's love, too. That's love when you got to turn around. She's yakking and yakking and yakking. Turn around, put your hand up, say, listen now, I got this. You go do your job. And by the way, men have their jobs. Women have their jobs, and God's going to hold both accountable, but ultimately he's going to hold you accountable. God does not have time to be dealing with your wife. He has put you in place to deal with that and your children. So is God aware of what's going on? Yes. Is he going to hold her accountable for the things she does and does not do? Yes. But ultimately, he's going to hold you accountable, and if things go awry and crazy, God is not going to want to hear it. He's going to, no. You know, you knew what my word said, and you let it go because you love them. You loved your wife. You loved your children, and you didn't want to offend them to the point you disobeyed me, and that's why you got all these problems. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. And husband, if, watch this, whatever you like or you want done, you know, whatever you get for yourself, you ought to have the heart and the mind and the spirit to give her what she wants or what, and she may like some of the things, some of the same things you like. You ought to have the heart to want, listen to me, a good husband, I'm here to tell you, if you are a good wife, a good husband will move heaven and earth to get you what you want. He'll go into debt to get you what you want. It's just in him. He prides himself in you looking good. You having this, the kind of food you like, just like the kind of food he likes. He'll buy a meal that he'll buy a steak and some potatoes and stuff for himself. But if you like fish and you trying to be dainty and whatever, keep your weight under control. We like that too. You want a fish sandwich from McDonald's? No, I'm just kidding. But you want a fish dinner? He'll go down to the fish place and get that for you. He'll go to two different places to make sure you have what you want. But you got to be a good wife and mother too now. You got to do your job. He's more likely to do that. If he's a good husband, he will probably not do that if you raised in hell and you criticizing him and you embarrassing him in front of his children and disrespecting him rather in front of his children and trying to embarrass him in front of your girlfriend. You messing up big time, because he's probably not going to do that if he's a good man. He said, "Preacher, he ought to do it anyway." No, he don't have to do nothing. He'll have you eating beans and rice. He'll make you fix a big pot of beans and rice and throw a bag of 99-cent mixed vegetables in there, and that's it. Here's date night, honey. And by the way, no man wants to take a wife who's been a witch all week on date night. So that's not going to work for you. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Marriage is a beautiful thing if it is done God's way. It's a wonderful thing. But everybody got to do their part. And in most marriages today, we have one person doing their part, the other person not, and then it gets to the point where neither neither one is doing their part, because one has gotten frustrated trying to do it all by themselves, and now they don't want to be bothered. And husbands, you don't want to be in that situation, and wives, you don't want to be in that situation either, because that's a very bad situation to be in. And so verse 32 says, "This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." And tomorrow we will talk to the husband and the wife in verse 33, I believe, if the Lord should tarry his coming and we live. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray for Christian families. Help them to realize that their problems can be solved and will be solved and only will be solved if they do it your way. You're the creator of marriage, and your holy word tells us how to do marriage. When we try to concoct ways to do it differently, it unravels and becomes a mess, and eventually both parties are frazzled and frustrated and angry and bitter. Then they get to the point where they don't speak to each other. And then they get to the point where they're passing like ships in the night. And they don't even have sex anymore. They're mad. They're angry. And then they get to the point of being tempted with somebody else because they think the grass is greener on the other side, and it is not. And then here comes divorce. And unfortunately, even in the church. And the children, the 2.5 children, are shot. They are in shock and will be for years, and will leave whatever church they're going to as soon as they can, even probably before they graduate from high school. And that's why we have an exodus of young people leaving the church today, because mommy and daddy did not act like mature Christians themselves, and they were selfish, even though they taught the children not to be selfish. But they were selfish, and now they all caught up with somebody else younger than they are, and it's just a mess. And so, Lord, we pray that those families that can be salvaged, that you would salvage them, raise up men to be Christian men and not wimps. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Please join me in reading our devotional Bible passage, Psalm 74, 18 through 23. "Remember this, that the enemy hath reproached, O Lord, and that the foolish people have blasphemed thy name." And that's what foolish people do. They blaspheme God's name. They don't take God seriously. But just remember, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Verse 19, "O deliver not the soul of thy turtle dove unto the multitude of the wicked. Forget not the congregation of thy poor forever. Have respect unto the covenant, for the dark places of the earth are full of the habitations of cruelty. O let not the oppressed return ashamed. Let the poor and needy praise thy name." Let the poor and needy praise thy name. You don't have to be rich and have it going on all of the time to praise God's name, no matter what the situation is. You ought to give God praise this morning. You say, "My money situation is messed up. I'm about to lose this or that." Praise God anyhow. That used to be a phrase back in the early 80s that Christians bought into. Praise God anyhow. Verse 22, "Arise, O God, plead thine own cause. Remember how the foolish man reproacheth thee daily. Forget not the voice of thine enemies. The tumult of those that rise up against thee increaseth continually." Holy Father God, we thank you for your holy word. have it to find a lodging place in our souls, in our spirits, and in our hearts. Help us to love it, to cherish it, and to obey it, and have it to inspire us throughout this day. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Join me, beloved, in praying for governmental leaders and the other states and others as well, based upon 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, which says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for President Donald Trump and his administration, his family, and his White House staff. We pray for salvation, spiritual, family, life, protection, provision, blessings upon them. We pray that you'll give them all wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and insight to lead this great country called America and to deal with its issues. We pray for the leaders of federal agencies, all members of Congress, all governors, mayors, police chiefs, and sheriffs. We thank you for them all, and we pray that you would give them wisdom, knowledge, and understanding and discernment as well. We pray for all military leaders. We pray for James Mad Dog Mattis, that you would give him everything he needs, give him wisdom far beyond his years to know what to do and how to advise our president. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the leaders of all nations around the world. We pray for the same wisdom for them. We pray for Benjamin Netanyahu, and we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray for all church leaders. We pray for those who are truly saved and who are doing the best they can for your glory, that you would revive them again. Those who are religious but lost, truly save them. And we pray for current events around the world. Lord, you know all about them. We're not mentioning everything today, but we pray for the comfort, provision, protection, and recovery for those affected by the extraordinary wildfires in California. This is the worst that I have ever seen and in my lifetime. And so, Lord, we pray that you would comfort these families. 40 right now, I believe the count is, are dead, and over 200 people are still unaccounted for. And we've never seen anything like this in our lifetime. And so we pray that you'll be with these people and save those who are lost and help them to do as we prayed for the folks in Harvey to do, Irma to do, Maria to do, and all of these other disasters. And that is to pray, to turn their eyes towards you. And so, Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, comfort those who have lost loved ones and provide for those who have been displaced as only you can. And give them grace and give them courage and give them boldness. And Holy Father God, we pray for the media. Save those who are lost, revive those who are saved. And we pray that you would help them to report only the truth. We thank you for what New York Times has done this past week, rewriting their policy about what reporters can say, that they have to make sure they are not biased and that they don't engage in partisan politics in journalism. There's no place for it. And Lord, we need for preachers to remember this as well. And so help them to report the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And also to not be the news, and also to make sure they don't report fake news. Holy Father God, we pray now for the prayer requests that we have, and we only pray for a few as we have hundreds. Help us to pray for those other people throughout the day in our prayer team. We pray for Bill. Please bless him with a pastoral opportunity, if that be your will. We pray for Patrick. Please save him and his family. Deliver them from violence and confusion. Please heal them from psychological sickness. Be with his mother and his father. Protect them from the devil and the world, and hear his prayers. Bring them into your presence. Lord, we pray for Muhammad. We pray that you'll save his soul. Please restore health and happiness to all his family and to all mankind. We pray for those who have been saved through this ministry. Many have been saved. We're only praying for three this morning. We pray for Rose, pray for Donna, and we pray for Mercy. Help these to grow in the faith and be the strong Christians you want them to be. And we pray for those who have recommitted their lives to you. This is something that we don't even give an invitation for, but once people hear the preaching of your holy word, the gospel, they realize that they're saved, but they have gotten away from you. And we pray for Kwame, we pray for Hasanu, and we pray for Divya. Help these to stand strong in the faith and be the believers in Christ that you want them to be. We commit these souls into your hands, as well as ours. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake. Amen. Now, beloved, our devotional reading for today is Life is a Temporary Assignment, Part 7, from The Purpose-Driven Life by Dr. Rick Warren. He goes on to say, the Bible says this about God's Hall of Fame, or Hall of Faith is what we call it. All these great people died in faith. They did not get the things that God promised his people, but they saw them coming far in the future and were glad. They said they were like visitors and strangers on earth. They were waiting for a better country, a heavenly country, amen, somebody. So God is not ashamed to be called their God, because he has prepared a city for them. Your time on earth is not the complete story of your life. You must wait until heaven for the rest of the chapters. It takes faith to live on earth as a foreigner. An old story is often repeated of a retiring missionary coming home to America on the same boat as the President of the United States. Cheering crowds, a military band, a red carpet, banners, and the media welcomed the president home, but the missionary slipped off the ship unnoticed. Feeling self-pity and resentment, he began complaining to God. Then God gently reminded him, "But my child, you're not home yet." Amen, somebody. You will not be in heaven 2 seconds before you cry out, "Why did I place so much importance on things that were so temporary? My God, my God. What was I thinking? Why did I waste so much time, energy, and concern on what wasn't going to last?" when life gets tough, when you're overwhelmed with doubt, or when you wonder if living for Christ is worth the effort, remember that you are not home yet. You're not home yet. At death, you won't leave home. You'll go home. Can somebody say amen? Let's pray. Holy Father God in heaven, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we praise you for our time together on this beautiful Sunday morning, and thank you for giving us a heart and mind to put you first always, and to pray to you, to read your holy word, to hear from you, to commune with you, and to be in your presence. And Holy Father God, we thank you for the reminder this morning that we're not home yet, that this is all temporary. And so, Lord, help us not to go to heaven and within 2 seconds have this same response, that why in the world did I serve God more? Why was I worried about all of that stuff that was so temporary that has been left behind? Lord, help us not to make that mistake. Help us to do all we can now for your glory, praise, and honor, so that we will have no regrets. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, my beloved, in closing, I have to share with you the most important thing for those of you who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and the free pardon of your sins, Jesus Christ has these words for you, found in St. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is the gospel, the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ in a nutshell. The Bible says also in Romans 10:9 and 13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, dear friend, and be saved today. Understand that you are a sinner. The Bible says we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Realize that if you don't trust Christ as Savior, you will go to a place called hell. That's how bad sin is. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God who was sacrificed to take away the sins of the world. His precious blood was shed as the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. That includes your sins and mine. And all you have to do is believe in him and pray and ask him to save you, and I'll be glad to lead you in prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase. Someone did this for me, and I would like to pass it on. So right where you are, repeat after me phrase by phrase and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner, that I have done evil in my life. I have broken some of your Ten Commandments. And because of that, I understand that I should go to hell, that I am going to hell, just like a person who commits crimes goes to jail. But Holy Father God, I do not want to go to that awful place called hell. So please have mercy and grace upon me, a sinner, and forgive me of my sins, my faults, and my failures. because of your holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for me, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul. And change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. And help me to repent. Help me to turn from my old life and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you just trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God in the Bible, you are now saved from sin and hell, and you are on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information, to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.
take us home and fulfill the prophecy. I know that everything is gonna be alright. He's coming back. Thank you, sir. Just like you said he would. Oh yeah, peace and love and happiness. I hope he's coming back. Oh, for the true and good. Oh, everything is gonna be alright. He's coming back. Like you.